T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the home of the U, Miami's Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Welcome to Hurricanes Weekly, where we talk all things Canes every Sunday morning. Today's show is presented by Williamson Cadillac Buick GMC. Miami's premier luxury dealership is Williamson Cadillac Buick GMC. Visit WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Now, the voice of the U, Joe Zagacki.
A very pleasant good morning, everybody, and welcome to Hurricanes Weekly, Sunday, February the 25th, 2018. Your Hurricanes Week begins today at 12 o'clock as the baseball team finishes up a three-game series against the Florida Gators. First pitch at 12 o'clock. The University of Miami women's basketball team in action today at 4 o'clock. It'll be senior day at the Watsco Center. Yesterday, the Hurricanes basketball team played an important game against the Eagles of Boston College. Let's look back at the highlights and the reaction from the Canes and Boston College. Newton cradles the ball on his hip, looking and still looking, has Lawrence in the corner, steps back for three, in the air, no good. Offensive rebound by Yule, and he slams it home with authority. 2-0 Miami. Walker for three for Miami, right side, in and out, halfway down the cylinder, no good. Azundu, the offensive rebound, throws it out to Yule, left side for Newton. Newton back to Walker, daylight for three again, second time, that one is good. Walker with a three-pointer from the right wing. Wardenburg has it in the corner. Wardenburg bounces it to Yule. The Wardenburg cutting to the rim for a slam dunk. 2-1, two-handed jam by Sam Wardenburg. Bowman, pestered by likes, takes the ball left, poked away by Yule. Yule on the open floor, rises up, and one-handed windmill jam. Yule sends it through with authority and gives Miami a one-point lead. 17-16. In front for Chapman. Chapman on the drive. Walker blocks the shot. Vasilevich has it for Miami. Azundu is running the floor. Vasilevich gives it to him. Azundu with a slam dunk on the other end. Now Newton with 11 on the shot clock. Newton weighing his options against a 2-3 zone. Finds Walker, who drives in. Walker goes airborne and scores and earns an extra shot. Lonnie Walker with a chance for three. Walker, the freshman from Reading, Pennsylvania, deals it over to Newton in the left corner. 4 minutes to go, first half. Walker left of the key, or rather Newton left of the key. Whips a pass down low. DeJuan Yule, another slam dunk. Miami 58%. Miami now 19 rebounds. Boston College has 5. Yet it's a one-point lead for Miami. Lawrence tees up a trifecta, and good! A right wing three for Anthony Lawrence. He already has 8 points in the game. Newton trying to get it in bounds and throws it to Yule on the right wing. Gives it up for Walker. Walker, left-handed dribble, now right-handed dribble. Rifle is a pass down low. Newton inside the left block and scores. An excellent find by Walker. And Newton scores for the first time today. Likes looking over a 2-3 zone. Walker has it for Miami. Walker's gone cold. He's 4-for-10. Here's Vasilevich for three. In the air and good. Vasilevich gets Miami going. They trail by two. Down by 10 with 3:44 to go. Anthony Lawrence takes it away from Popovich. There's one. Vasilevich open on the right wing. Shot fake. One dribble left. Lets it fly. Good! And here we go. 69-62 with 3:34 to go in the game. And a timeout by Jim Christian. Miami is down by two. 14 seconds to go. Lights has it. Jim Larinaga now using the timeout. Vasilevich has it with 10. Lonnie Walker has it with 8 seconds to go. Walker with 6 seconds to go. Lonnie Walker, top of the circle for the win. In the air. Good! It's good! It's good! With 2 seconds to go, Lonnie Walker has delivered. It is 79-78. Miami leads it with 2.3 seconds remaining. Lonnie Walker, the freshman from Reading, Pennsylvania, has delivered Miami the lead with 2.3 seconds to go. It is 79-78. He hit a three-pointer from the top of the circle. Popovich will inbounds as we face the floor He's to the right of the basket. They've got to go 94 feet with 2.4 seconds to go. Popovich looking, running the baseline, looking, gets it to Robinson, off his fingertips, the ball is poked away, and Miami wins in Coral Gables! Miami has come all the way back! They have come all the way back, and the Hurricanes have done it in Coral Gables! A magical victory for the University of Miami! Hurricanes 79, Boston College 78, Lonnie Walker is a Hurricanes hero! He hit a three-pointer with 2 seconds to go, and Miami has done it. They have done it. The Hurricanes, dead in the water, come all the way back and win it. 79-78, and save their NCAA tournament hopes, and perhaps put themselves in the tournament. Holy smokes, what a finish. What a game. What a comeback. We have Associated Coach Chris Caputo. We're also going to have, I believe, Chris Likes as well, who is one of the heroes in this game. Let's see if we can get Chris mic'd up here first. Right down the stretch, Chris Likes with us. Ever been in a game like that one?
Yeah, a couple. You know, we play a lot of games. It's going to be like that.
You guys are down 14 with 6 minutes to go. Chris, you hit a lot of big shots. You finished with 14 points in the game. 15 points, but 7-for-7 from the free throw line. What do you think it says about your team showing the heart here down the stretch?
A lot of the older guys just kept coming to the huddle saying we got a lot of time. We got a lot of time to make things right, and it starts with our defense. So we turned the intensity up on defense, forced some turnovers, and we were able to get back in the game.
Did you believe deep in your heart you could pull this one out?
Of course. I mean, with the guys we have on this team, with the talent we have on this team, I think anything's possible. So.
You were a real spark plug in this game. You generated a lot of different plays down the stretch, the free throws, some big shots. Let's talk about your performance in the final couple of minutes. It was really clutch.
I really wasn't having the best game, but I just said if I get another opportunity, I'm going to go in there and try to do whatever I can to help this team win. So fortunately, it worked out for me.
All right, let's finally talk about the last play. Lonnie Walker, a three-pointer. Coach L had a timeout, did not call it. What was going on?
Oh, yeah, I knew that was good. That's something he works on every day in practice, a little sidestep. And once he gets up in the air, you can't contest his shot. So it was just him in the rim, and fortunately it went up.
How big a win was this tip for you today?
It's a very big win. I think for us, chemistry-wise, I think this is a big win for us going down the stretch, going into March Madness. So I think it's a really big win. You just got to keep building on it.
Chris, very impressive on the floor and off the floor here this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Chris Likes, one of the many heroes for today. And now associate head coach Chris Caputo. I don't know, I've been doing these games for 25 years. I've got to go back to, I think, Darius Rice. He stole the ball. Miami was down 5 to UConn. But you were pretty much dead in the water. What ignited this comeback?
Yeah, I mean, I thought they outplayed us, you know, really most of the game. And I thought our resolve was, you know, really outstanding and remarkable. I thought, you know, I don't know what the numbers were in terms of how bad we were down, how deep into the game, but...
Bad.
You know, I thought we were relentless in terms of, you know, just next play and not playing the score late. I wish we would have played that way to start. We wouldn't have been in that position, but I thought we had just a relentless resolve, and we've been working on, you know, just some late game situations where we need a three, and we were able to get it. You know, I just can't say enough. I thought it was just a really emotional win for our team.
You're down 14 with under 8 minutes to go. You're down, yeah. I think, double digits with just over 3 minutes to go.
Those guys are, they're like impossible to guard for us. I mean, Robinson is an elite player. Bowman fouling out might have been a huge, you know, thing down in the last few minutes, you know, getting the steal, getting the side out. I thought our group just played like a veteran team that deserved to be in the NCAA tournament. You know, down the stretch, I don't think we had our best, you know, a few minutes early, but down the stretch when it was needed, we just played with tremendous resolve and toughness as a group.
Let's talk about the final possession. You keep chipping away. You have the timeout. They missed the free throw. Coach L, let them play it out, and you got the ball to the right guy.
Yeah, I mean, we practiced just a little bit of that late-game handoff sort of action for three, and we got it, and huge make for Lonnie. He had made a three in the first half, but he didn't. He wasn't shooting particularly well, but it was great.
Let's talk about that heart, grit, determination, all the things. What were the things that turned the tide here today for you?
I mean, I thought we had a better job defensively in the second half. I mean, man, they're such a good offensive team, and you know, we were just not disruptive at all. You know, they were moving the ball so well. Their four-man had seven assists. They're going to have to watch and see how that occurred, but they were moving it so well. And I thought we, I thought we did get some stops and some key rebounds late, and our free throw shooting, we were 13 of 15 from the line. Chris being 7 of 7 was huge. DeJuan being 4 of 4 was huge, and obviously, you know, at some point we started taking care of the ball pretty well, and that gave us the ability to, you know, obviously get shots at the rim.
14-3 run to finish the game.
Yeah, I mean, that'll do it.
Let's go back to Chris Likes for a moment. The maturity that he showed. He said he wasn't having the best game. He had a couple of careless turnovers. But over the final 3 minutes, he was drawing fouls.
No, he was relentless getting to the rim. And I thought it gave him the ability to get to that free throw line. We needed him, and he made those free throws. So that was terrific.
I think he fouled Bowman out. And maybe Bowman took him for granted in the last couple of minutes, but he essentially fouled him out.
Yep. I thought it was a key play when he broke to go get the ball, and 41 fouled him and then put us to the line, so that, you know, no time off the clock, you know.
How about the pressure and the backcourt that you guys applied also?
Yeah, I mean, again, I thought second half we had a little bit more resistance for them, and they're so well coached, and offensively, they're very, very difficult to defend. But we did guard the three-point line well, which was key. You know, 4 of 17 was key for us. But they got what they wanted at the rim, and they scored a lot off our turnovers. They had 24 points off our turnovers. We were able to take care of the ball better in the second half, and I think that was huge.
That's 20 wins. You're assured of 500 in the conference. I think you're a tournament team. What do you think? You just have to keep playing, keep winning, I guess.
Well, I think obviously they don't determine that right now, but history has shown if you finish 500 in our league, you have a reasonable chance to get in. But we don't want it to be, anything that is, under consideration. We want to be deeply in. So, from that perspective, we've got two really difficult games left because the league is so tough. And, you know, you got at Carolina, which is very, very difficult, but a place that we've won before. And then Virginia Tech at home will be a battle just like this one against the tournament team.
In terms of carryover effect, how do you think a game like this can help your team?
Well, again, I think just some of the young guys learning what it takes to win close games and the attitude you need to have and the resolve you need to have. Those are things that you learn as you go along in college basketball. And for a lot of freshmen, they're not on the floor when those things are happening. In our case, we have a few of them on the floor. But as a group, we really miss Bruce.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the reality, especially against a team like this. And so we found our way, without him. And it's not seamless. We got to figure it out as we go along a little bit. Our matchups, our lineups, we figure out as we go along a little bit. But we've found a way.
By the way, one other salute here. Anthony Lawrence did hit a huge three.
Yes.
I don't remember what he brought the score to, but he hit a big three-pointer that kept you attached in the game.
Yes.
And, you were down 14. All of a sudden, I look up, and it's like, okay, down 7 or 8, 5, and got a chance here.
Yeah, I mean, took every second, as they say.
Yeah, well, no question about that, and probably a few years off my life, but
no doubt.
Congratulations. Great victory.
Thanks, Joe.
All right. The Hurricanes win it in dramatic fashion, 79-78. And I don't think there was ever any doubt when Lonnie Walker took that shot and whether or not it was going in.
Next up for the basketball team, a Tuesday night showdown in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, against the Tar Heels with a 9 o'clock tip-off. We'll continue on Hurricanes Weekly right after this on Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM.
Radio.com. This is Hurricanes Weekly, presented by Williamson Cadillac Buick GMC on the home of the U, Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Hurricanes Weekly brought to you in part by Williamson Cadillac, celebrating over 50 years as a leader in the community and over 50 years as a leader in luxury automobiles. Later today, Miami takes on the Gators in baseball at 12 o'clock, and the women take on Virginia Tech in basketball at 4 p.m. Canes will take on North Carolina on Tuesday night at 9 o'clock in college basketball. Right now, let's go back to yesterday's key highlights from around the nation, brought to you by the IMG Networks and the Learfield Sports Networks.
Forced it up, no. Loose ball grab by Robinson, up ahead for Rahman. He'll take it in, jam it down, and he's tied a career high. Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman's got 26. Double team comes, he throws it inside to Rahman. Double clutch lays it in. A new career best for Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman. He's got 28. Wiley will take the three, in and out, and Michigan's going to win it 85-61. Wolverines, a commanding and demanding impressive win here on the road against the Maryland Terrapins.
Bounce pass out front, Schofield, a three is good from the top of the circle.
Money.
He's had a big first half with 14 points. Pass goes to Schofield. Schofield fakes a three. Bounces, going one-on-one. Fall away, shot good. Wow. Baseline by Schofield. Turner will dribble the clock out, and the Volunteers come up with another very impressive road victory, and they sweep the season series today on the road here in Oxford. Tennessee knocks off the Ole Miss Rebels, 73-65.
Shot clock down to seven. Graham steps back, a long two is good. Devonte so clutch, and KU leads by two. Oh, Devonte, what do you have in your bag of tricks this time? Devonte dribbling behind his back, crosses over, drives, scoops, throws up a prayer, and it's answered. Oh my goodness, an answer prayer for Devonte Graham. Gets it into Newman. Is he fouled? No. They didn't foul him, and KU's got to win the greatest streak of conference dominance in college hoops history belongs to Kansas. Rock, chalk it up. It's 14 straight. KU wins it, 74-72.
Three-quarter court. Long, and Bagley will slam it down. Grayson Allen from beyond midcourt with a spectacular pass, equaled with a throwdown. And Jim Boeheim wants a timeout. Into the corner, and Brissett backs out of there with a right-hand dribble. Allen nearly took it away. He did. Going in alone with a right-hand finish. Now back for DeVal on the left. Drives to the left baseline into traffic. A handoff inside for Bagley. Left-hand finish is good. As number five Duke wins their fifth in a row. Now 24-5 and 12-4 in the ACC as the final horn sounds. And Duke wins it 60-44.
Now Chioza will inbound along the baseline. He's looking, gets it in for a sprint. Allen, who will launch three-quarter court. It's up, and it's good! Kayvon Allen from the parking lot gets it to go. Here's Chioza, eyes towards head coach Mike White, brings it across the timeline. Has it front court left, moving right, right wing. Backdoor bounce for Hudson, elevates, fakes it in, and one! Here's Harper, three to play, left wing three through the air. Left it short. A big win for the Florida Gators. Your final, the Gators 72, the Auburn Tigers 66.
What a great day in college basketball. Now let me talk to you for a moment about Williamson Cadillac, celebrating over 50 years as a leader in the community and over 50 years as a leader in luxury automobiles. Experience unmatched luxury and the most unique car buying experience in all of South Florida at Miami's premier luxury dealership, because Williamson is Miami. Right now, enjoy our best offers all month long on the entire lineup, including the all-new XT5 and Escalade in stock. I'm driving the XT5. It is about as good a ride as you are ever going to have. Treat yourself to unparalleled style and luxury. It is everything a luxury car buying experience should be at Williamson Cadillac, which is conveniently located at US 1 and 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto Expressway in Miami. Visit Williamson Cadillac today. For over 50 years, treating you like family has made Williamson number one. For an outstanding car driving experience, don't just drive a car, drive a Cadillac. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Williamson is Miami.
Radio.com. Radio.com. This is Hurricanes Weekly, presented by Williamson Cadillac Buick GMC on the home of the U, Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Coming up this week for the University of Miami, it all starts today at 12 o'clock, Miami and Florida in baseball. Women's basketball at 4 o'clock at the Watsco Center. Tuesday, Miami at North Carolina basketball. On Wednesday, baseball is at FAU. Over the weekend, a four-game baseball series against Maine, including a doubleheader on Saturday. Hurricanes men's basketball season, home season, also concludes on Saturday against Virginia Tech. The women will be in Greensboro for the ACC basketball tournament. All right, in this segment, Jesse Marks is going to join us. We'll talk about the indoor facility. But first, on Tuesday night, Miami takes on North Carolina in basketball. And for a preview of that game, we are now joined by Hurricanes head coach Jim Larrañaga.
A quick look ahead, coach. Put the periscope up a little bit. Coming up next week on Tuesday, North Carolina. And that's always an interesting trip going to the Dean Dome.
Well, Joe, I hope we have as much success up there as we've had a couple of occasions. Back when Shane Larkin, we played great up there in our second year. And then actually the third year, we went up there again, and with Eric Swope and Ryan Brown leading the way, we played a great game and were able to beat them again. But Chapel Hill, the Dean Dome, is not a friendly place. You know, the community might be friendly when it doesn't come to basketball. But when you go in there as an opponent, it's so crowded on the baseline. I had to ask the referees to back up the cameramen so that we could step out of bounds just to inbound the ball after a score.
Yeah, it is an interesting place to go. And you, when you talk to the people in Carolina, they always ask, well, which one is better, going to Cameron or going to the Dean Dome? And they are completely different. And although they say that the Dean Dome crowd is – shall we say, the wine and cheese crowd, I don't quite find it that way. I find them to be quite vocal, and the Dean Dome is so much bigger than Cameron Indoor Stadium.
Well, you know, I think both places are very difficult and very challenging to play well in because they have great players. You know, they have great coaches, great players, great fans, great support. And, you know, no matter where you go around the ACC, when we went to Virginia Tech, that place was wild. Yep. We went to Notre Dame. That crowd was crazy. I mean, so it's difficult no matter where you go. NC State was a heck of an environment this year, didn't you think?
I thought it was a great environment. That place is as big as the Dean Dome. It's a 20,000-seat arena. I will want to talk to you in a moment about playing on the road. But before I do that, just quickly on Carolina, they're the defending champs. Joel Berry is back. Luke May is back. He's had a very good season for them.
Yeah, you know, one of the things you have to admire about Roy Williams as a coach is in years past, North Carolina was predominantly a big man offense. They pounded it inside. They offensive rebound better than anybody. And they rarely shot the three ball. And when I say rarely, I mean far less than a lot of teams. You know, sometimes they'd shoot 10. But a lot of times they pound the ball inside. This year, with Cameron Johnson, the transfer from Pittsburgh, and Luke May at the forward positions, those guys can stretch the floor as good or better than any 3-4-man combination in the country because those guys can really, really shoot.
And, of course, I would imagine they still like to run. Roy Williams always likes to have his teams get out in transition.
Well, when we prepare for Carolina, the first and number one priority is to take away the 5-second layup because they are, along with Michigan State, the best up-tempo team in the country after you score. It's not just after a rebound or a turnover. But if you score a basket, they'll inbound and rifle it up the floor and shoot a layup within 5 seconds. So you really have to work on converting and defending their transition game first. And then they're very predictable in a sense that they run – the Carolina secondary, It's a very famous fast break offense. And the Carolina basic offense, which they call regular, which is a lot of diagonal cuts and down screens for shooters. Joel Berry has been running it for 4 years, so he is the most experienced player in the conference, not just in Carolina, but in the entire league. And he's got more wins and has led his team further into the NCAA tournament. You remember they won the national championship last year, but they lost in the finals the year before.
Right.
So he's about as good as it gets at the point guard position, and he's averaging about 16 points a game. He and Luke May are the 1-2 punch, but Cameron Johnson is really helping him. Theo Pinson is a real key because of his defense. He's going to be maybe the defensive player of the year. And then you have Kenny Williams, who when he was struggling from the three-point line, they lost three games. And the moment he got hot, they went on a winning streak. So they're a very well-balanced team, very well-coached, and a real challenge for everybody.
And you do make a good point. I had almost forgotten. Back-to-back appearances in the national championship game, when you have that kind of experience, I think as a player, the following year, been there twice, well, we're going to go there again. You just almost feel invincible, and they might have that sort of feeling at this time of the year.
Well, when you consider at least four of their starting five played in that national championship game. You have Joel Berry, Kenny Williams, Theo Pinson, and Luke May, four guys in their rotation, either as starters or subs coming in off the bench. And then they have a couple of young big guys who are very talented, very tall, shot blockers, and guys who offensive rebound like Carolina teams always do. So our hands are going to be challenged, and we're going to have our hands full.
No question about that. You have won seven games on the road so far. That's second most in the ACC. Virginia has the most road wins with eight, but you have seven. How significant do you think that will be for you in terms of your resume?
Well, I hope the committee will look strongly at that. That one of the things I believe Syracuse has played 17 home games to our 12. We've played 12 at home and 11 away from home, whereas Syracuse has played 17 at home and 8 away from home.
Actually, I give you this, 18 at home. They're 14-4 at home. 18 at home.
18. At
18,
home.
Yeah. So,
and they have a home game tonight, right?
Correct, yes.
So there is definitely more difficulty in playing on the road. You can see by teams' records at home versus on the road. And by us having a winning record, both home and away, is really significant to me. But I'm not a member of the selection committee. But I hope the committee members will take that into consideration. And I understand that they've changed the formula and are weighing more heavily and ranking teams a little bit differently when you play them on the road. So if a team is in the top 50 and you play them at home and you beat them, you get a certain amount of credit. But if you beat a top 75 team on the road, you get the same credit as beating a top 50 team at home. So that's significant for us because there are a lot of games like that for us.
Yeah. Certainly winning at Virginia Tech and winning at North Carolina State. Those come into play, winning at Notre Dame. I don't know where Minnesota fits into that now, but when you played them, they were ranked 10th in the nation.
Well, how about this one, Joe? Our win against Middle Tennessee, who is right now ranked in the top 25.
Right.
And beating them on a neutral court. That will be a top 25 win. If they can continue winning in their league, a top 25 win on a neutral court, that will weigh very heavily in our favor.
And you did address the NCAA tournament with your team to sort of get them focused. We're at the end of the year here now, to get them, I suppose, focused and hungry for a very strong finish.
Yeah, we've got to be hungry. You know, every team is going to be hungry right now because of what's at stake. The TV broadcasters last night, they had Joe Lunardi on, and he said Notre Dame needed a resume builder. A win over Miami would be a great resume builder, because when Syracuse beat us, Joe Lunardi said, hey, that was a really big win for Syracuse, because we're a top 50 team, a top 40 team. Notre Dame needed a top 40, top 50 win. But by us beating Notre Dame, we got a nice resume boost.
And you've always been very good with these numbers. A couple of years ago, you were pretty dialed into the fact that it didn't look good to get into the NCAA tournament. I thought you should have been. It was Angel and Mac's first year. But this year, your RPI has been in the top, I don't know, top 30, top 25. The KenPom rankings have been top 30 all season long.
Yeah. You know, a couple of years ago, and you can't cry over spilt milk, but we beat Florida at Florida, Syracuse at Syracuse, and Duke at Duke. I guarantee you there aren't a lot of teams that can do that. But they didn't give as much weight to road wins that year. And we had a couple of losses at home during exam time where we just were not focused. I could see it even before the game. And even at timeouts, Joe, I think I've told you this. When I'm looking at the team at a timeout and their eyes are back staring at me and they're listening carefully, that's a really good sign. When I'm looking at them and giving direction and their eyes are wondering, their thoughts are someplace else, and I know it. And I got to shake them back into focus. But it's a really bad sign.
All right, Coach, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Enjoy the conversation, and I'll see you here very soon.
Okay, Joe. Always great talking to you.
Joining us now is Jesse Marks, Senior Associate Athletic Director in charge of development. Enjoyed our trip to South Bend, Indiana earlier in the week. Let's get a little update on the indoor practice facility and the timeline. And every time I look out there, the thing gets bigger and bigger.
Oh, yeah, it's unbelievable. I was just over at baseball looking out, and it's growing every day. We're going to next week they're going to conclude some part of the external structure of the building, which would be nice to see. So we'll get an update on that next week. But it's on pace to be ready for the start of football season. They put some of the exterior walls up today. I saw that creeping up the north side of the building. It's moving along. It's going to be one of the finest indoor practice facilities in the country. We can't be more excited for the program and for our student athletes who are going to be making this facility home.
It is the Carroll Sofer Indoor Practice Facility, and some can help out Carroll Sofer, but she gave the largest donation. But if you would like to join in and be a part of it to help Carroll see this thing all the way to fruition, how do they do it?
Great question, Joe. Give2IPF.com crowdfunder is still ongoing. We've had over 900 donors make gifts ranging from $50 to $10,000. They each get some type of gift with that contribution, handpicked by Mark Richt. We're going to be sending out the first wave of these gifts in the next couple weeks. So anybody who made a gift, thank you. You'll be receiving your package shortly. But we're still accepting those, and we'll get everybody in on the action. It's go to give2ipf.com and take a look through the website and make your contribution right there. It's benefiting our program, this facility directly, and our student-athletes.
You've had former players step up, spearheaded by my good partner, Don Bailey Jr., and you've had a lot of former players step up and contribute also.
Absolutely. We've had $2 million in contributions from former student athletes from as early as the 1950s up to some of the more notable names of recent times. It's been an unbelievable outpouring led by Coach Richt and Catherine, of course, with their $1 million leadership commitment. It really has been amazing to see the former players get behind this. And it's not about really how much, it's about how many. It's about the participation of our former student athletes, and I'm proud to say we've had quite a few, and we'll continue to ask them when they're on campus to support and have a piece of this facility.
you are in development, and you work with Blake on these projects, and there have been a lot of them recently that have popped up at the University of Miami. There has to be some sense of pride on your part, perhaps, and Blake, that you guys have been able to enter the game, so to speak, because that's what you're trying to keep up in this arms race with everybody else in college athletics. And you and Blake spearheading these projects have Miami in the game.
Joe, I appreciate that, and I know Blake does too, but it's a total team effort. Our whole staff, we're the University of Miami. We have a great message to sell. We're helping young people achieve their athletic, academic aspirations and preparing them for life. We're really doing that at the core of what we do. We're telling that message. And it's our donors who are answering that message, our fans, our alums, our former student athletes, the Miami community. They're answering that call. It's up to us just to get out there and tell everybody what our needs are, how we accomplish those needs. And it's our donors who've supported all these projects, with the Schwartz Center, the Hurricane Club, the Carol Soper Indoor Practice Facility. They're the ones that deserve the credit for making this happen. We're just here spreading the good word of the university, and it doesn't happen without them and those who support, and our constituents who support these projects.
Probably could throw in there that between football trips and basketball trips, and maybe throw some baseball in there, it's probably, I don't know, 25 visits to campuses during the course of the year, 20 to 25, maybe more. But my experience has been for the last, I don't know how many years, that when you go on these campuses and you make plenty of these trips, there are cranes everywhere. There's construction everywhere. So that's why it's important for the University of Miami to continue to do what you're doing.
Absolutely. And Blake always says that there's every project is a building stone for the next project. And we'll continue to try to knock items off our list that we need for our student athletes to get better, whether it's academic facilities or a dining hall that we did. We've done all those things, and we're going to continue to find needs as they develop and answer those and solve those challenges.
Yeah, well, you put another thing on your list. A couple of weeks ago, you had the celebration of women's athletics, and we can talk about that event in a moment. But during that event, you announced the Building Women's Championships, the Building Women's Champions campaign.
Yes. So basically, this event started from the Celebration of Women's Athletics event. It is our fourth annual this year. Jen Strolley, our deputy AD, has done a remarkable job raising awareness among our women's programs and the great things our female student athletes are doing on a daily basis, whether it's in the classroom, on their field or court of play, and definitely in life. I mean, we had one of our speakers, a marine biology major, totally unbelievable, the stuff and the field experience she's getting. It opened my eyes a little bit, and it started out of this event, and Jen and I got together and said, hey, what can we do to make this breathe year-round, to raise awareness among our women's athletics programs, but more importantly, give them leadership experience with companies and female executives and even other executives in our community that can grow them in the business world. So this campaign is a part of that. There's three components of it. The first is a celebration of women's athletics event. The second is a leadership and mentorship institute, which we're going to be developing over the next year. And the third is just donating to any of our women's programs. So visit buildingwomenchampions.com. That's our website for this campaign. And it's our goal in the next 3 to 5 years to raise this to, through all three of those components, $1 million annually to benefit our female student athletes.
What kind of update do you have for the Hurricane Club?
All right. Well, the months, the federal tax code change, which made all of our seating donations non-tax deductible under federal law, whereas they were deductible up to 80% minus any benefits that people would receive. We're in the process of evaluating that for our program right now. What that means is basically anything that was tied to a season ticket, while it could have been written off previously, will not be able to. This doesn't apply to a lot of people, but it does to some who itemized their returns previously. In a nutshell, we have to change the way the Hurricane Club operates a little bit in terms of our structure. We'll be coming out with some changes in the next few weeks that details the giving opportunities that will remain tax deductible for the Hurricane Club. It's just a little shift in the way we look at things and how we recognize some of the funds that have previously come into the department in the form of seating donations. So we'll come out with a very simple, detailed diagram on how this affects those who make those gifts, if it affects them at all, and we'll determine what the benefits are and what access and events people are invited to based on where they give and where they spend within our program. Overall, I think everybody will be pretty pleased on how this shakes out.
Okay, very good. Now, come the spring, we may have a spring tour with Coach Richt.
Absolutely. I was actually working on this today quite a bit. We are looking at a few stops in the state of Florida. I'll throw it out there right now. I don't have exact dates, but we'll do an Orlando stop, definitely a Jacksonville stop, and we will have a golf tournament on the southwest Florida coast up in the Fort Myers, Naples area. Darren McMurray, former football student athlete. I think that was Don Bailey's roommate, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. We'll be hosting a great golf tournament, which is one of the best fundraisers we do all year over on the southwest coast. And then nationally, we'll end up in Chicago and most likely New York City area. So we're working out the details of those. We'll do a formal release when that time comes. And we hope our Canes across the state and then in two of those big metropolitan areas, Chicago and New York City, get to join us as well.
Yeah, it's always a lot of fun and a good opportunity for fans across the state to reach out and see Coach Richt and have him answer some questions and all that stuff.
Absolutely. Our goal is to bring the coaches. Hopefully we'll have some of our other coaches join us as well and shake their hands, take a few pictures, and really hear firsthand from Blake and our coaches, the direction of the athletic department, all the good stuff we're doing in the community, and all the good stuff our student-athletes are doing in school and beyond.
Oh, do we have an MC for that?
I think Joe's going to do a couple of them, a few of them. He's very talented behind that mic. He raises some money on the silent auction, on the live auction as well.
All right, I look forward to it. Yeah, I love the auction. I am an auctioneer.
I love the jokes that you start off with. Those are always the best.
All right. Well, I've got to go find some new ones, I suppose. All right, Jesse.
Well, Joe, appreciate all you do. Thank you.
Always good to have you on the show, my man. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks. Go, Ken.
Thanks so much to Jesse Marks and Coach L for joining us, and thank you for joining us as well. I'm Joe Zagacki. Have a very pleasant good morning, everyone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.